This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And, folks, a lot of times we get calls. People want to know the hours of doors of the Word Baptist Church. So I'm going to just give that there for you folks in Northeast Ohio. Sunday morning, we start at 8:30 with an in-depth Bible study, and that goes to about 9:30, and then there's another in-depth Bible study. And then the regular service starts at 11:30 in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we always have what we call the class, the Bible and Current Events. And we've been looking through that UFO. There's been some really interesting programs showing what is this UFO stuff really all about? What's really taking place? What's behind it? And of course, AI, we've really got in depth in that too. And then that goes from 4 to 5, and then 5 o'clock is the evening service, and we have another, you know, good message being preached. So that's Sunday, Doers of the Word, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio, and come on out and join us. Now, I'm going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9679. I kind of really expect some of you folks to call in with brilliant questions. I mean, we need to be brilliant tonight. And so if they're really brilliant, or if they're maybe extremely hard, you can ask McKernan. He's brilliant, okay? Or you can try some on our apprentice here, Aaron. So the number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, while we're waiting to take some calls, illegal migrants commit egregious crimes that should have been prevented. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agent looks through the border fences. Hundreds of migrants line up under the Staten Strait Bridge to be processed after they illegally enter the U.S. in El Paso, Texas. And so here, Senate Democrats have dismissed the articles of impeachment against Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas for rising to the level required under the U.S. Constitution. He lied under oath. I watched that man lie under oath time and time and time again. But Senate Democrats have no morals, no values. There's no honor. There's no honor. There's no integrity. They're in lockstep, and there's not one honorable man in that Senate Democrat. Not one honorable man there in all of them. And here he goes to the U.S. Constitution, but immigration experts still insist the Biden regime border policies have resulted in an influx of criminals, some of whom have committed hideous crimes. Customs and Border Protection data shows that so far this fiscal year, there have been 8,700 arrests of criminal non-citizens, and that were more than 15,000 so far this year here. Now, so he goes on to say, by becoming, well, now, let me get out of here. Let me move on. Anyhow, I think I'll just stop it there. Again, who do we have?
Dean in San Diego.
Okay, let's go to San Diego. We have Dean. Dean in San Diego.
Hi, Pastor Ernie.
Hi, Dean.
Again. You wanted a crazy question to make you think. Not that you can't, but my dilemma was, I think we touched on this last night, is that God created everything. Satan fell down from a falling star. We're in his world. We're here to represent and glorify God. And I understand that. Here's my problem, is that I think these demos Democrats are going to they're going to rig the election again. It seems to be destined, and I'm just wondering, is it God's will or wish or what? Because I've been through some hard times, and I learned a lot from it. So I'm confused there. So if you can,
well, let me ask you this. Yeah, yeah. No, the way things have gone, if the Democrats tell the Republicans, we're not going to rig the election again like we do every time, do you think the Republicans will believe them?
You can't.
I know. I mean, it's...
You can't believe the Democrats. You just can't.
Well, here's the thing. We only have just a small minority of Republicans that are worth their salt. The facts are, I mean, those that really stand up, that really do their job, they're in a minority on both the House and the Senate. I mean, I praise the good Lord for the good ones there that will stand and fight. But that's the problem, and it seems like they never really catch on. The Democrats are always out ahead, and this is why they're using this lawfare against them now. You know, go ahead, commit election fraud. Be right out in your face with election fraud. Don't worry. We've got the courts tied up. The courts have been bought off. They're not going to hear the cases. That's
well,
the problem.
I've heard that. And what I'm trying to figure out is that you've been around for some time. And why aren't they knocking on your door with a machine gun and all this other stuff and whatever it is that they do? And you're surviving, and I would say this would be the will of God, and you're protected, but what the hey?
That's exactly right, up to this point. See, throughout history, God has protected his people. Remember, in Scripture says, touch not my anointed, until the time he decides they fulfilled his purpose. And once he's fulfilled his purpose, well, he allows them to be martyred and come home. And I've often thought myself, I've expected many, many times while I've been on the air to have the doors kicked in, you know, but we didn't. Now, I did 3 radio programs with FBI agents sitting live in the studio with me, but those were the good guys. They were there because they had to follow up these complaints that were made against me that were totally false, and they knew that. And they told me that when they got there, that they knew that. But these were the good guys. Back when, today, you can't trust them at all. I mean,
no, I totally agree. So we talked about this last time. We're in a big time war, and I just there used to be a saying, and I hate to say it, and I'm not racist. White people wake up. That means everybody, in my opinion.
Yeah. They better wake up. Yeah, well, I would say this: Christians and Jews wake up, because that's who they're coming after. They're going to be coming after Christians next. Right now, they're villainizing white males, but that'll change too.
You know, one thing is, like, you know, when I call up and I go, like, okay, now I got a target on my back because somebody's listening to this show and what you do, and I'm going, oh wow. It might be coming at me, which I'm fine with. It's okay. I'll let it go at that. But, yeah, it's getting really, really scary.
Sometimes when people call threaten me, I tell them, listen, I'm just doing what McTurner told me to do. And so, you know.
I heard that.
I know.
Well, take comfort in hearing about Texas's primary a couple weeks ago. A lot of rhinos lost, and then the good
loss.
There's good things happening.
All the rhinos that were behind the attorney general being impeached, if you followed that.
We did.
Rhinos matched up with the Democrats to try and remove Paxton. And so all of them were pinpointed, and they were, when the primaries came, they were removed, except for a couple there that they have in the runoff, and the judges. And the judges that were liberal, rhino liberals, they were removed also.
We have here in Ohio, where you had the Rhino Blue 22, they're being targeted by, because they were Democrats, voted Democrat, and yet they switched in the primary, ran as Republicans, and they got elected because the Democrats voted for them. You know, the Democrats were told, vote for these guys, so they switched to vote for, knowing the Democrats. I mean, and they went in, and I guess what they did was legal, okay? It definitely was...
Someone in Ohio's house is working on, or state house is working on closing the primaries, which is a great idea, so that you can't cross over and do what they did.
So, anyhow, all right, very good. Did you say we had another call or no?
Three more.
Okay, who do we have next?
Rob in Euclid.
Let's go to Rob in Euclid. Rob, you're in the air.
Oh, Pastor, thanks for taking my call. I can barely hear you, sir.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. You're
okay,
coming
I can,
in.
I can just barely make out what you're saying, but I'm going to ask my... Well, it's not so much a question as a thought, and I'd be really interested in hearing what yourself and your fellow radio experts there have to say. Now, it's concerning the concept of presidential immunity. Now, of course, I'm a huge follower of Donald Trump, all right? I want him to be president again. But the idea of him, if the Supreme Court should decide that he had some presidential immunity, it frightens me, because then Joe Biden, Barack Hussein Obama, William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, and all these people who were presidents committing crimes can then turn around and say, well, I have presidential immunity when I committed my crimes. What do you think of that, sir?
Well, you know, they might as well, because they weren't prosecuted. Obama hit and killed civilians, U.S. citizens, with drones. And of course, Joe Obama has committed more crimes than any president in the history of the United States. I mean, this guy is broken every law.
I understand that, but if President Trump should get back in office, and I don't know how he would do it, but if he were able to build up a legitimate Department of Justice again, then these people could say, if they should be charged with something, then they could say that, well, we have immunity. Yeah, I hope I'm making myself clear.
Yeah, I do. But you see, I understand that, but I do understand what you're saying. And if we get a legitimate Department of Justice again, I think Trump is going to go after these people. And he should.
Well, I do, too.
Yeah, he should go after them. No, I understand what you're saying, and I believe that I have a tendency to go along with what the court is saying, that he does have, to some degree, executive immunity in some areas. You can't do your job if you're going to be challenged and brought into court as president. By the way, on January 6th, remember, he was still the president of the United States. He was the president of the United States. His job was to secure to protect the people. And he felt that election, which we know was stolen, we know was wrong, and he did his job. He was just doing his job on that day.
Okay, you do not have to defend him to me, because I agree with everything you're saying. I was just expressing my concern about the whole concept of the bad guys being able to just claim immunity because they held that office.
No, I would agree with what you're saying.
Mr. Ernie, can I interrupt here for a moment?
Sure, go ahead. That's why you're here.
Yeah, the way it looks like, and I'm only just speaking as an observer, the way it looks like is it might come down to policy. You'll have immunity, but like, let's say while you're president, you're taking bribes. You don't get immunity for that. So if it's policy related, like Obama.
Well, then it's just going to be a matter of who decides what's a crime or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, bribery is pretty clear, you know.
But you would think so, but they're Democrats.
So, you know, they're making things up about Trump. But it came up about Obama's policy there of using drones in Yemen to take out American citizens. He just was using drones to kill Americans with no anything, just on his word.
I know. And so there you go. All right. Well, thanks, Rob.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your input. And to me, it's just something to give some serious thought to. That's all, sir.
All right. Well, thank you. It was a good question. Okay. Who do we have next there, Seth?
Greg in Chicago.
Let's go to Chicago and talk to Greg. Hey, Greg, you're in the air.
Hello?
Yep, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Greg in Chicago. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing okay, Greg. How are you?
Oh, pretty well, yeah. We were praying for you last week. We were concerned about you when we heard you were not doing too well. And so glad you're doing a little better there. Hope you keep on keeping well, you know.
Yeah, I am doing better now. Thank you very much.
Thank the Lord, yeah. Yeah, I thought you might be interested to hear some of the things. You talked about what's going on in Chicago with it's been a strong Democratic town, you know, for a long time. And we live right in the city, and they elected a mayor. I think it was last spring they elected a mayor that's kind of a socialist guy, this Brandon Johnson. And then now they just passed to the city council $70 million extra for migrants here in the city. And people are kind of getting up in arms, you know. Some of the African Americans that are especially crusading for Trump now, and trying to get a petition to recall the mayor, and so there's some positive things going on.
I've seen that. I'll do whatever I can to help in that, because you're right. You know, whenever the government gives you something, it means they've had to take it away from someone else first, and that's what they do.
There's a friend of mine that started an organization too. He's African American, called Martin Luther King Republicans, and he's some encouraged there. They've invited Trump to come to Chicago, and it'd be quite interesting to see there if we can get Trump to come and speak here in Chicago. And kind of a growing number of supporting people here, surprisingly, in Chicago.
Did you see the labor unions that went out for Trump when Trump visited, when he went after the courtroom? Boy, they went, the communists are seeing this, and they are really getting afraid. They're gearing up, you know, the chatter out there is already telling you that that the FBI and the CIA are already gearing up to try to take Trump down already. I mean, you know,
it's every day almost.
Yeah.
Something new.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for the question. Who do we have next? Who do we have next, Seth?
Nancy in Illinois.
Okay. Going back to Illinois. Nancy, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie and everyone else. I would like to know if you could take the opportunity in the near future to do a teaching on Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, when it talks about, in those big capital letters, Mystery Babylon, for she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth.
All right, yeah, we can do that. And I think John has written quite a bit on that too, haven't you, John?
Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, that's the mystery religions. That's all the, it'll be a conglomeration of everything you see today with more idolatry. It'll be open like pagan worship like it was 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
In 2015 in Utah, Salt Lake City, they had the world's religion. They had the gathering on the World Federation of Religions, and the Pope spoke, and he said, if we're going to have a one-world government, then we need a one-world religion. The great whore, the mothers of harlots, and that is the one-world Babylon. See, Babylon has three different parts to it. You have the political, the religious, and the economic. And guess where all three of them were housed? Right there in New York City. The World Trade Centers were the economic. Right there within the United Nations is where the World Council of Churches held their meetings. It's where their office was. So you had all three parts of Babylon there. And here, when you talk about the great whore in Revelation 17, and that's the mystery of the woman. So that's a...
But doesn't it represent a church?
Yeah, it does. That's the...
Wouldn't that be the Catholic Church?
Well, no, it's going to be a combination of the of apostate churches. Now, I know a lot of people bring in the Catholic Church because the colors that she wore are the same colors of the Catholic Church, aren't they?
Right.
And so... but that'll be like John said, a conglomeration of all of these different religions.
Mr. Ernie,
and then I think there's a verse. I think chapter nine. I mean, verse nine, where it says, "For the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." So wouldn't that represent Rome? Because she is only known in Italy for seven hills or mountains, depending on...
There's two places that are set on seven mountains. One is Rome and the other is Jerusalem, or is Israel, that has seven mountains, too. And so...
Yeah, but we know it wouldn't be Israel.
Well, the Pope actually had talked about moving parts of Vatican to Israel, to Jerusalem. John, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Pastor, there was something real important I wanted to say, and it just went out of my mind.
Yeah, that's happening more often now.
Pastor Ernie, this is what I wanted to bring. You mentioned this several times about there was an event in Europe, and it was a civil thing. It was about a tunnel that was. A long tunnel that was put through the mountains, and they had a festival there.
In Switzerland,
It was pure paganism, Pastor Ernie?
Oh, yeah.
That was 2016.
Yeah, you shared this on the show. I mean, it was outright old-fashioned paganism, minus, human sacrifice, celebrating this opening of a
sound like the Goddard Tunnel.
Many mutants in Europe.
Yeah. In fact, you had the presidents of France and Germany there. They all took part in that, okay?
Merkel was there?
Yeah, Merkel. I was surprised that Obama wasn't. I mean, at least he wasn't visible.
They have that video still available. It is. It's just pure pagan. They're dancing with, like, some kind of animal head. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Baal. They had Baal, an image of Baal there. But why would you do that when you think about it? Why would you do? Why bring out all this pagan worship for the opening of a tunnel? I mean, that's really what it was. It was a tremendous civil project, and then they successfully opened it, and then you have this huge pagan festival celebrating.
Well, they did it because they dedicated that tunnel to Satan. That was the whole point. You saw the laser works that they had, that came out with the grotesque satanic images and that. So they dedicated that tunnel to Satan.
Yeah, and that should tell everybody, the heads of state or the politicians at that event, you should kind of maybe question their motives as far as how they govern.
I think the president of Australia was there too. So you had the president of a number of these different countries there. And so.
Okay, so my one other question is if the mother represents a church, then who are the harlots? It says the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth.
Well, the mother of harlots, you've got whores galore. I mean, you have every kind of whore nowadays. That you have judicial whores, you have political whores, you've got religious whores that virtually sell their own souls. You know, these prosperity preachers. Joel Osteen's getting worse and worse, but you know, so you've got all kinds of whores. The Bible refers to, and today you have media whores. I mean, we really have a problem with the media whores, okay? And those are people that have literally sold their souls, okay? And now more and more today, more and more of the young women in this country today are turning towards whoredom. And so it's getting worse and worse.
Okay, so the way that I interpret this is the harlots have to be the denomination, because Jesus says that he's coming for his one church. And it's not any one of these denominations. I mean, when you open up a phone book, when you move into a town, it's like Satan's smorgasbord. It's like, come over here. We're the Lutheran church. Oh, well, you don't like that one? Well, come over here. You might like us. And they all pretend that they're all Christians, but yet they all tweak it their own way.
And yeah, it's the great apostasy. We're living in the days of the great apostasy, the falling away. We're living it right now, real time. The world,
okay,
the national...
So wouldn't they be the harlot? I mean, the harlot?
Well, yeah, that's a major part of it, yeah. That's the religious Babylon. But you see, you have the religious Babylon, and they're harlots. You've got the political Babylon, and they're harlots. And then you've got the economic, the woke industrial Babylon, and they're harlots. So what you saw on 9/11, what you saw on 9/11 was on a small scale what is going to happen during that tribulation period. So, if you remember what you saw in 9/11, what happened? Let's take a look at it and see. Okay, here. I want to very quickly, when we talked about, I'm going to pick it up in just in verse 9 of it, chapter 18. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, that they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, 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 the great city Babylon, the great, the mighty city, for in 1 hour as thy judgment come, and the merchants of the city shall weep and mourn over her, but for no man buyeth the merchandise anymore. Now, let me just tell you the story. I remember 9/11. I was watched it. And from the time the first plane hit to the last building was down was exactly in 1 hour. Now, what happened? From the time, what happened out there in the harbor? You had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ships. By the way, going into New York, there's a big billboard just on the outside of New York, and it's called Babylon. There's a little city. Well, New York City is referred to Babylon around the world. They refer to New York City as Babylon. Now, this is on a small scale. So what happened? All the ships in the sea had to drop anchor right where they were, okay? And they had to wait till they were inspected. What happened to all of the merchandise was on those ships, especially the seafood and the perishable stuff? Here, let me read you again. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen. And so he goes on and he talks about here, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine. And it goes on. And the fruits that they and the soul has lusted after are departed from thee. And all these that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. So the merchants of these things were made rich by her. shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great a riches has come to naught. Now that's exactly what happened to Babylon, the economic system in New York. And it goes on and says, for 1 hour the riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and all as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this, this great city? Well, you saw a small, on a small scale, what happened on 9/11, what's going to happen on a much larger global scale during the tribulation. So, there you go. So, again, you have the three Babylons, the religious, the political, and the economic. And the great horror that rides upon the beast is referred to usually as the religious, because what's going to happen is the political and the economic are going to turn on the whore, and they're going to burn her with fire. Okay?
And right.
So there you go.
Well, and you're on a small scale, you're also seeing that now with the current Pope, who's saying that all roads lead to God, which is...
I think the false prophet is going to be the Pope, either this one or the one coming.
I don't think there's going to be another one, to tell you the truth.
Then it'll have to be this one, because who could pull it off better than the Catholic Pope?
Well, Francis has openly
points to the sky and fire comes from the sky. I mean, she is the Church of false signs and wonder, and no one could pull it off better than him. And he would be the false prophet as he points to the statue that will become alive and be the Antichrist.
Well, if you were to ask me the best candidate today for the Antichrist, I would say by the characteristics that you find in Scripture, I would say Barack Obama.
I agree.
He feels that.
But I don't call him that. To me, his name is a swear word in my house. So I prefer to reduce that O to a zero, because he's not an O anything. And
yeah.
Then I'm too comfortable calling him Zero Obama.
Abomination, huh?
Yeah.
All righty.
An abomination.
Right.
Zero Obama.
All right. Yep. For a lot of reasons that I've preached messages on that, he has more of the attributes and the characteristics of the Antichrist than anyone I've seen up to now. And so, all righty. Well, I thank you very much, young lady, for calling. Okay, who do we have next?
Jack in San Diego.
Let's go back out to San Diego, and we have Jack. Hey, Jack, you're in the air.
So I wanted to address the issue about immunity. They have tried to muddy the waters by, instead of addressing the issue of immunity, they're trying now to confuse it between official acts and private acts. And I think what a lot of people are forgetting, that the office of the president is unique, and that he's on duty 24/7. He has no private time. There's no vacation time or sick time where he is not the president of the United States and always acting on our behalf. So there is no private time to conduct private acts. Everything he does while he's president is an official act representing the United States of America. And I think it was Nixon that said, if the president does it, it's legal. And you can't have a president in fear of being prosecuted after he leaves office and micromanages every move he makes, and they first have to establish, now, is this an official act or is this a private act? That's not really possible if you want a functioning president. But I think what's interesting is what you're seeing now is anarchy. And I'm surprised it doesn't draw more attention. You have President Biden. It's been established that he's taken bribes while he's been in office. And that's one of the actual specific crimes that's mentioned for impeachment. He has ignored the Supreme Court of the United States and continues to forgive student loans. He should be immediately impeached.
Well, if we had a Justice Department, we don't. It's illegitimate, okay?
Well, this issue of immunity may be moot because Jack Smith has already said if the Supreme Court rules against him, he's going to ignore their decision and he's going to go ahead with the prosecution of Trump.
Yeah.
So this is where you're headed for civil war.
Yeah.
And there's actually a movie out now about that subject.
I've heard about that. Everybody keeps calling me, telling me I should go see it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's, what is it, life imitating art? Or is it art imitating life? I mean, it is kind of pretty good timing that movie is out now. But I just think that the fact that they're getting away with it also begs the question, has the Constitution been suspended? And I refer you to the 1976 National Emergencies Act that was signed into law. I'm trying to remember the president that succeeded Nixon. He signed that into law in 1976, and it gives the president of the United States the sole ability to declare emergencies. What's the purpose of an emergency? It's to temporarily suspend the Constitution. So right now, under that 1976 Act, there's 30 national emergencies. One of them that has been continued is the national emergency that Bush declared after 9/11. September 14th, 2001, he declared a national emergency with respect to the war on terror. That has been renewed every year for an additional year by every president. It's enforced today. We're at war, and it is a national emergency, and I believe the Constitution of the United States has been suspended since 1976.
Well, you're not the only one that feels that way. You know, a whole lot of people believe that, too. And so we know.
Gerald Ford that signed that piece of legislation into law. The 1976 National Emergencies Act, look it up and look at the number of emergencies that are still being prosecuted today. We're under approximately 30 national emergencies, and it's time for civil war, boys.
Well, unless the good Lord intervenes, that's where we're heading, because right now we have absolutely no obligation whatsoever to recognize any legitimacy. In fact, it would be a sin for us to actually do it because the FBI has gone corrupt. They've gone rogue. The Justice Department has gone completely corrupt. Most of the courts are now gone completely corrupt. You have an illegitimate guy in the White House. He is not the legitimate president. They're going after the legitimate president of the United States. There's a coup, and they're trying to put him in jail, or they want to remove Benny Thompson. This guy, I watched him during those hearings. If you had that January 6th, is what they call a select committee, and the entire time he never told the truth one time. Not one time did he ever tell the truth. He blatantly told lies, just blatantly told lies. And
Pastor, let me leave you with this thought. We got a taste of emergency during COVID. There is a multitude of local and statewide national emergencies that were declared, and you saw what happened. They took our rights away from us, and they temporarily suspended their state constitutions. Now, we've gotten most of those rights back, but that's the whole point of an emergency, is you're temporarily suspending the Constitution.
Well, that they tried to do that, but it didn't. A lot of the counties, like the one I live in, they did not go along with it. They totally...
Well, this is the wild card with Biden. Are they going to dream something up in order to be able to declare a national emergency before the election?
They don't have to dream. They're right now, there is no shame. They're out there in your face. They're lying. They've got that illegitimate news media. Just unbelievable when Trump calls them the fake news media. He is right. There's not one journalist, not one at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. You know, they put on a good performance, but there's, you know, well, they're media whores is what they are, because they're not telling the truth at all. So, but I got to move on, Jack.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Stay healthy.
You too. Yep. Who do we have next out there?
Leonard in New Jersey.
Okay, we're going to New Jersey with Leonard. Leonard, you're in the air.
Okay, Pastor Sanders, can you hear me? I don't know. I just heard a beep on that.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I talked to you Monday about anti-government activity. I want to apologize because the word anti has two meanings. One is against and one is instead of. And I have one other point. Now, you were talking about the, like, pastors in the schools, and the you said, I don't know what denomination the pastors would be, but it can't be Satanism, because Satan is not a man, is not a person, so he can't establish a religion.
Well, that's not necessarily true. You have a lot of different religions. They worship animals. They worship, different things out there, deities that are not necessarily human. So, but here, the ACLU is pushing. The ACLU is pushing for that. They're totally against this. Again, the Democratic Communist Party are moving more and more every day into the Church of Satan. So, I mean, that's just where we're at. This is the Antichrist world system. But anyhow, thanks, Leonard. I got to move on. Who did you have next?
AC in Cleveland.
Okay, now we're going out to Cleveland to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor, and everybody else that's in the studio there or on the line.
Yes, hello, hello.
Hello.
The woman that asked about Mystery Babylon, I think she got a lot of the study that she was asking for, but the city that Mystery Babylon represents, John gives us the answer in Revelation 17, verse 18. He says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So he says the great city is currently, in his lifetime, reigns over the kings of the earth. That can only be Rome.
At that time.
Rome, because Rome reigned over the kings of the earth when John was alive and wrote this.
That's true there, too. But the thing about seven hills in Israel has seven hills, too. But you have a good point. And then, of course, now here they've been talking about moving parts of the Vatican to Jerusalem. In fact, they wanted to start the Catholic Church and the World and National Council of Churches have been, since the 70s, working on deciding, to come together and join up together, but they couldn't come to agreement on who's going to be ruling things there. But I remember hearing the Pope say, if we're going to have a one-world government, we got to get a one-world church established. And so there you go. That might be. Yeah. It might be in Rome,
and
yeah.
Ernie, those, you were talking about the one-world church, and they did make strides. I'm just remembering this as you're mentioning it. They made strides to, like, what would be the word, to abandon their, I guess you would say, their history, and they're starting to come back with Rome. They're starting to, they divided, come out of Rome. Now, in our day, they're starting to come back to Rome.
Remember the Crystal Cathedral, I'm having a senior moment, the fellow that
Robert Schuller.
Schuller. He was promoting going back and bringing in the World and National Council of Churches under the Vatican.
Yes.
And so, so they've been debating that for years now. So,
yeah, and pastors that have glass churches shouldn't throw stones, right?
Yeah, I kid about that, AZ.
Well, the United Arab Emirates, they have a mosque, a Catholic church, and a synagogue all on the same property right now operating. Yeah. And Pope Francis met with some imam from Egypt and signed like a fraternal brotherhood document, something like that. I think it was 2019.
That is true.
The one world religion is coming together. He literally says you don't need to believe in Jesus' death and resurrection.
I know.
All roads lead to God, basically.
In fact, the Pope has said that, by earthly standards, that Christ failed at Calvary. He failed at Calvary. So, there you go. All right, we're out of time, but thanks for calling in, AC. How much time do we have left there, Seth?
About 5.5 minutes.
You got 5 minutes, John. 5 minutes to give an invitation. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. It's very interesting, folks. The show ended about this one world religion. Amazing when you stop and think about it. They are willing to have a one world religion, but not with Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, and not with his shed blood on the cross, paying the penalty for sin. None of them will accept that. It's an abomination to the Muslims to even think of that. So Christ is out, and it's just amazing to think of, but when we look at his gospel, when we look at the word, and we're talking about the book of Revelation tonight, and also in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, the people in heaven, they tell us how they got there, and they're singing a new song, scripture says, to Jesus Christ. And part of that song is, "For thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood." There it is. Slain. That's his death on the cross. "And has redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred," that's tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So the whole world, they're talking about unity in the world. The whole world is open to Jesus Christ for salvation, but it has to be his way. There is a penalty for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Now it's 5 minutes.
And that death ultimately means separation from God into a literal place. Well, actually, it's not called hell. The final place is called the lake of fire. It's literal, folks. And God is an all-consuming fire. And in his presence, you have to have what we will, as believers will have, is a new body that is, it can fit in God's heaven. The sinful body cannot, but God is a consuming fire, and that's why it's called the lake of fire. So God wants everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus Christ died on the cross, and thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. We've been redeemed. The penalty for sin has been paid for by his death on the cross. So what it is then is a trade. Christ takes your sin in him, on him, on the cross, and God then places his righteousness in us so that we then can have assurance of eternal life. That's the only way, please. There is no other way. If you reject the message of Jesus Christ, if you reject his gospel, if you reject his shed blood for paying the penalty for sin, then you have to pay that penalty yourself, which is eternity in the lake of fire. So that for, the other thing about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it says, whosoever believeth in him. So it's not enough. God's love is hovering over you, but you have to receive it. You have to confess. You have to believe, and then it's applied to you for eternal life. And God will accept us into heaven at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those that are alive are transformed into a body like his. Those that have died in Christ are resurrected, and they receive a resurrected body. And we will live forever in a... In fact, the very first thing we do is we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a wedding feast in heaven. And then our place to live is what's called the New Jerusalem. All of the believers in Christ will live in what's called the New Jerusalem. That's our future. We have an eternity with Christ, but the problem with sin has to be addressed now.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, are we out of time?
No, you've got, you're going to have, you got about 90 seconds left right now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and you could follow with me for assurance of eternal life. It's God, I now repent, I turn about faith from a life of sin to a life with Jesus Christ and his word. I then believe that you sent Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, sinless, to die on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for my sin. And I believe that I now have God's righteousness in me. I am righteous because of what Christ did for eternal life. And I will receive a glorified body at Christ's coming, and I will have eternal life in heaven.
1 minute.
Because of what Jesus Christ did, just like they are saying in heaven right now. For thou wast slain and has redeemed thee to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. God bless you. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
And, you know, John, everything you said, because there is nothing as accurate, nothing out there that even comes close to explaining the existence of all of us as God's Word in the Bible. It is perfectly accurate, and it is completely and totally authoritative. But until tomorrow, we want to say good night. Say good night, folks.
Night.
Say God bless all you folks
God
out there tonight.
Bless.
And then we want to say, always, 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 ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.